Hey everyone, this is Stelly FD.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today, as we do sometimes with our podcast and in this recording, we've got a story of a founder, anonymous, of course, that Stelly's going to share. And the kind of lesson that we're going to talk about and talk through is basically in business, how to choose the best of the worst.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
And that's, you know, usually applicable when you're in a situation that's really bad, let's say, really difficult, and you have some choices to make, and none of them are the easy ones.
Yeah, I think the concept of picking your poison comes to mind. So here's the scenario. I was at a conference a few days ago, and this founder comes to me, and he starts asking me for advice. And this is the funny thing. I know that you've been in this situation many times before where the first layer of questions or problems that are presented to you are never the real problem, right? So it was a similar situation here where at first he approached me and he said, listen, I'd raised $1 million. I spent 600,000 of that million on a VP of sales. This guy hired all these salespeople and they tried to do this whole outbound thing and it basically didn't work. So I've wasted a shit ton of money. Now I have 400K and I need to figure out how to make outbound and inbound work, and I need to figure out how to grow really fast. What do I do now? And, you know, at first I had to ask him, okay, well, tell me more. Why does it matter? You know, you had a million, you spent 600,000, it didn't work. What didn't work? Okay, so the unit economics of outbound didn't really work. Okay, so are you running out of money? Are you trying to raise money? What is the urgency that I can sense from you? Like, why? I mean, I get that it sucks that you hired somebody that didn't work out. They wasted a lot of money and time. That sucks. But I sense an urgency that we need to get to something. What is it? Are you going to be bankrupt? Are you trying to raise money? You need to hit some numbers? What is it? It was like, well, you know, it's really, we're not gonna run out of money. We can like manage being cash flow positive. So that's not really an issue. I'm like, okay, so are you trying to raise money right now? He's like, no, we're not trying to raise money right now either. It's probably going to be later in the year. I'm like, okay, so why do we need to make outbound work immediately? Why is outbound a problem? Is inbound working really well for you? He's like, yeah, inbound sales works really fantastic. Like, why are we not just keep doing that and expanding on it? Why do we have to figure out this outbound thing? He's like, well, because we're making too little money per customer and we need to hit certain revenue numbers. I'm like, why do we need to hit these revenue numbers? Well, and then we got to the real problem. Well, those investors that put $1 million in his startup, they had set a certain amount of milestones that he would have to hit, revenue milestones. And if he hit those revenue milestones, their money would convert at a certain percentage. And if he missed those revenue milestones, it would convert at a much higher percentage. So basically, they would get a lot more equity for the $1 million they invested. I'm like, all right, okay, now we're talking. So it's not about outbound. It's not about this bad hire. It's about you are trying to hit a certain revenue number in a very short period of time. Okay, first, how much more equity will you lose to these investors if you don't hit that number? And it was like 15%, I think. So he would have to give up 15% more than he has. I think that the percentage that he gave up before is not that crazy. Maybe 10 or 15%. So this would bring him up to 30, right? So I get it. I was like, this is going to double the amount of basically of equity they get for the money. I get that that sucks. But the time frame that he presented was a 4-month window. So he has 4 months from December. And it took them, I don't know the exact numbers, but it took them a year or 2 years to get to 20K in MRR. And he needs to get to 60K in MRR. He needs to get to like add 10K in MRR every single month for the next 4 months. And his average customer pays him $200 a month, right? So he started then kind of proposing to me all kinds of funky ways that he could imagine and how to get to 60K MRR. One was to do some aggressive outbound stuff himself. One was to do all kinds of other things. There were a lot of wild ideas. And you could tell that he was scrambling to figure out some way to get to 60K. right? So he wouldn't have to give up that extra 15% to his investors. And then my question was, all right, hey, if we step back, if you whatever you percentage you give to these investors, will you have to raise more money in a year or two, or will you be profitable forever or cash flow positive? And he's like, no, by the end of 2017, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to raise money again. And at that point, I told him, well, you have a bunch of shitty options and you'll have to choose one of them, right? Because it seemed very unlikely that his plan of trying to get to 60K MRR in 4 months is attainable, right? It seemed to me that his current solution was that he would do all these incredibly risky, very expensive things that were very short-sighted to try to get to additional 40K in MRR. The most likely scenario, based on everything I'd heard, would have been that he would just fall short of the 40K MRR anyways. So to me, if he succeeded getting to 40K with all these short-term tactics, yes, okay, he saved giving up 15% to the investors, but now he has all these unsustainable ways to grow and this trajectory to those investors that's not accurate. So he's going to keep doing these shitty things, and eventually the chicken's going to come back to roost. Eventually, the model that he's building, the scale that he's creating is going to crumble. It's going to create issues down the line when he tries to raise money again. Either that's going to happen, or even worse, which is the more likely scenario, he's going to do all these short-term things to get to 40K and additional MRR, and he's not going to get to the goal. So he's going to get to 20K or 30K in MRR. So he's done all this short-term stuff. He spent all this money wastefully, and he still will have to give up the 15%. So, you know, at this point, I'm going to pause, and instead of telling you how the conversation continued, I want to hear your first thoughts on this. Like, imagine you standing next to me listening to this founder and my summary of the situation. What's your first gut instinct? What are your thoughts? What would be questions you would ask to this person? What are your comments at this point, Heath?
Yeah, I go pretty extreme in these cases and just ask, what about if you just shut it down?
Ooh.
And then it leads to all kinds of interesting discussions, right?
Why are you asking that question, though? Just clarify that for the listeners. Why would you ask somebody like that, hey, what would happen if you shut the business down?
If you're in this weird situation like you're describing and you have all this pressure and it's kind of, you know, artificial in some ways, but then you still have to raise money by 2017, this business is probably not going to work. There's just too many, there's just these variables and just this line of thinking and this drag from investors that just make me feel like it's just not going to work. So my first intuition there is like, has he thought about shutting it down, or has she thought about shutting it down? And are they, and how does that person I'm talking to feel about that? So it isn't just like, oh, my opinion is you should shut it down. It's more like, have you thought about just shutting it down now?
Yeah.
And that tells you everything, like depending on what their reaction is, not even their verbal reaction, but the way the face goes, the way the heat, sometimes they get pissed at me. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah. Man, you know, most founders that have raised money, I would say the vast majority of them, they are, sooner or later, they're going to find themselves in some kind of a sticky situation like this where things are very complicated and messy and the options are not very attractive. And I think that just habitually founders are just, because founders are so optimistic to a fault and because they are very determined, if not stubborn to a fault, you know, even like when you suggest this, even suggesting this is something that's that I could see a lot of founders becoming very uncomfortable with, even the thought. I mean, with this founder, I didn't ask him this question, but I did ask some challenging questions in terms of, well, what if we didn't do any of these things that you're planning to do? Or what if all this stuff, this crazy stuff you say, what if it doesn't work? Hey, what if we just give those people 15% more? What is the big deal here? What's the big problem? What if we just go to the investors and ask them, tell them, hey, I'm going to do all this short-term shitty stuff that's going to fuck the business to not give you 15%. We're totally misaligned right now. Why don't we realign? Why don't we get to a point where you see we've done it and we've had enough progress, things are going well enough. Don't force me to do all these short-term things to hit some arbitrary revenue numbers so I don't have to give you this extra equity. Let's get to some kind of a compromise. I'll give you an extra 5% equity instead of 15, and I'm going to do all these good things for the business that are long-term that will keep this business healthy. Like, why not try to renegotiate this? Like, as I was offering all these different options, even with like simpler options than how about shutting down the business or have you thought about shutting down the business? He was very uncomfortable. You could tell that in his heart of hearts, he was attached and holding on to the idea that he's going to figure out a solution to all of this, which means he's going to come up with some magical silver bullet that will get him to 60K in a way that is long-term and scalable and healthy for the business. So he doesn't have to give equity to investors and he just saved the business or created this massive inflection point right now in the business because he's read all the books and all the stories of these moments, heroic entrepreneurial moments happening. So he didn't want to let go of this idea of there's a solution that will fix, that will address all of this in a beautiful way. Right? It was even difficult to talk about like small options, but I love the question of have you thought about shutting it down? Because it's a question that too many founders are not comfortable asking honestly. Right? Most founders will go through the entire life cycle of their company never ever asking that question. Although, you know, maybe in their heart of hearts, it would have been a good question, an important question to ask. They just don't, I don't know, maybe it's a public shaming, maybe it's, they don't feel like they can even ask the question of, can I shut down my business or not? So anyways, we did an episode, it's episode 17, The Art of Quitting. It's a very important episode we made about how to decide when to quit and when to persevere with your startup. But in his case, as the conversation continued, I think that there were a few options that I laid on the table, right? Which was, I thought the least appealing option was doing short-term, trying to chase the 60K MR goal with no plan that seemed reasonable. That seemed to me to be the stupidest version because he would fail at reaching the goal and he would burn through the money and he would do all these things that would lead to the demise of the business. So I was like, that's the sudden death kiss option. I would not do that. That's stupid in my opinion. The other option was just accepting, hey, give them 15% more and move on with life. Try to build a good business. Try to make this a healthy business and you'll have to swallow that pill and move on with it.
So what do you think his level of conviction was on the business?
Dude, I don't know. It's a good question.
That's all I try to get at. When someone's in a difficult spot, it's all about how much conviction do they have for their business. Like, I don't mean like, oh, I love it or any of that. It's just like, do they believe in it? Is there any actual real evidence that this business should continue? Customers love it. There's a growth rate that's at least there to some extent. Like, you know, one is emotion, right? The other is logic. So what I'm doing is like by asking a question, just like you did, like, you know, shutting it down and all that, it's like, that's emotion. What do you get out of the person or what do you get in your own head when you have that thought? And what's the emotion around that? And the other piece of it is logically, should this business exist? Should it continue? Is there any evidence that you can make it? Is there any evidence that there's something here worth continuing? Because otherwise, you know, you give up the 15%, let that go. You're still in the same spot of like having to continue the business.
Yeah, I think when it comes to like some of the core fundamentals of the business, at least with my understanding, with the conversation that I had with him, it sounded like there were a lot of things that seemed to be healthy. The inbound funnel seemed to be working well. Churn didn't seem to be a massive issue, so kind of retention was good. So I think that, and I don't know enough about the business to confirm that, but I felt like in his mind, he made a big mistake, probably because he was stressed about that revenue goal that the investors put in place. And he hired this, and inbound was working well. He had something that was going fairly well. And then he hires this expensive VP of sales, and that VP of sales does all these crazy things to get to that revenue goal. And eventually he realizes it's not going to get us to this goal, and it's burning through all my money.
Yeah. So I want to definitely put this out there. It is very rare to hear an investor put a revenue goal like that on a founder and it be a good thing. Very rare. So already for me, that's a big red flag on the situation, which is like, well, why'd they feel the need to do that? You're the founder CEO. You probably have a forecast, you know, unless your business is super early. I think this one's pretty early, right? So all your forecasts are BS. So like, what are you doing? Like, why did you let them put that goal? Was it a, I'm sure it was a contingency on giving him money. But then it's like, I don't know, this is just not a common thing I hear. So there's a fundamental issue there, first and foremost, you know, of like the amount of control that he has enabled the investors to have on a business that he's running. They're not running.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I don't think I would ever advise anybody to agree to something like this, because it's not that it's going to be a bad thing for the business, for everybody
involved.
Because it is incentivizing, you know, non-organic, hacky behavior to hit some arbitrary number to not give investors more equity. That's crazy to me. But this, in this example, this is a European startup. And in the European scene, it feels to me that, you know,
that's more common.
It's not totally common, because the investor scene in Europe has kind of aligned itself much more with what's happening in, you know, in the US and in the Bay Area specifically. More so, there's more sophisticated, really good investors in Europe, more than probably, you know, a decade ago. But it's still more common for these investors to come up with these structures that are not a typical startup structure that's good for that business, right? And it's basically a, hey, you're giving us these really aggressive projections to justify why we should put, you know, $1 million into the business with a whatever for you know, if you're somewhere, if you're not in a startup hub in Europe, not in like a Berlin or a London, you know, any kind of smaller European country, the investors will go, well, if I put $1 million into this business and you want a $2 million valuation, there's nothing here. You have these really aggressive goals. Well, what if your goals all fail? You know, and it's kind of a negotiation tactic with like, well, if you do amazingly well, sure, let's have this higher valuation. But if you don't, I want more equity for my money, right? I think that's kind of the rationale.
And if he got in that situation, he needs to own it, right? And deal with it. And I think, you know, just to give people a framework, split the logic and split the emotion. And figure out if any of those are imbalanced, like logically there's no business here, which it sounds like in this case there is business. Great. There's a business here. Then the emotion is like, are you done or not? One of the things that people don't really talk about in startups, whether it's funded or self-funded, is like, if the founder, the CEO, the people running the company, executives in a larger company, if they're done, the business is done. You're not going to be able to continue it. And it's hard to tell if you're done sometimes, but like in these situations, it's a great test in my mind. It's just like, are you emotionally done? Do you really want to continue? Because this shit ain't easy. Nobody said it was. You should know that by now. And if you don't have the conviction, you know, based on your emotion and kind of your ability to just push through, then you're not going to make it. So to me, the framework is just logic and emotion and splitting those two up. And logically, he got himself into this deal. So trying to weasel out of it now or do something weird, that's not going to work, right? He probably, that VP of sales was probably brought on by his investors to some extent, or they pressured him or whatever, but like he shouldn't have listened, right? If he had conviction to do it a different way or had a belief that there's a better way, maybe he should have made that decision faster. All that stuff's done now though, right? He already made all those mistakes. He probably learned a ton from them. So to me, it's like, you know, emotionally, logically, it seems like the business is healthy enough. Emotionally, it seems like he needs to check himself, right? And really think through whether this is worth it for him.
Yeah. And we've talked about this and shared some of the frameworks that we have for this. But I think this is one of the most challenging questions for founders is, what is my emotional state of being? Like, where am I? Am I still truly passionate about this, or am I just attached to it? I think that most founders, even when they're emotionally exhausted or done, it's incredibly hard to admit that to yourself and anybody else, even to anybody else, maybe even to a harder degree. But I know for sure, I had the one company out of all the businesses that I've built where I was holding on for way too long, and it was just impossible for me to admit defeat. So if you had asked me, I knew I was you burned out. I knew I had like no passion anymore for it. But if you had met me and asked me, hey, are you done? Have you ever thought of shutting this down? I would have never admitted that. I would have been like, no, I'm going to make this happen. Just been like trying to force situation with pure determination. Although in his case, just to be honest, to be fair to him, I don't necessarily think that he was emotionally, it didn't seem that he was emotionally done. It just seemed that he could not accept the reality, right? He could just not accept that, just like you said, hey, I made some bad choices. Maybe agreeing to that with investors was not a good idea. Maybe bringing this VP of sales was a bad hire. I made these mistakes. There's a cost associated with it. Now, the question is, am I going to pay a small cost and learn from the mistakes and move on? Or in an effort to avoid paying any cost, will I ruin the business? And that was my interpretation of the situation. Is he wanted to avoid paying the cost of his past mistakes. And in order to do that, he was steering his business towards the iceberg. Like, he was just trying to come up with all these really wacky, short-sighted ideas to get to some crazy revenue number that he hasn't accomplished in a long time, because his customers are much smaller customers, to rectify the mistake with the VP of sales and to not have to give up more equity. And again, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I actually asked, I tried to understand how much equity he had given out to investors and how much he still owned. And it didn't seem amazing to me, but it didn't seem to a point where I was like, oh, dude, you're done. Shut down the business. This makes no sense anymore. Which has happened before, where people are like, well, yeah, well, the investors, got 60% and then we get another 20, and then I have these contractors that got 5% each. And it's like, dude, you haven't even started with this thing. You only own 10%. Like, this is going to be a really hard journey. But it didn't seem to be the case here. It just seemed to be, yeah, it was not amazing, but it was not at a point where I thought, this is such a toxic deal where this makes no sense anymore for you as a founder. I just thought that my sense was just that he didn't want to bite the bullet. He didn't want to own up to his mistakes and take the losses on those.
Yeah. I mean, there you go.
There you go.
That's an emotional thing, right? That needs to be addressed. To continue.
I love that, and I think that the tip you gave earlier, and I think that's a good one to wrap the episode up with, which is the separating the emotion from logic, right? Just first asking, are you done? Are you angry? Are you burned out? Are you depressed? How do you feel about all of this? And then, okay, what are the numbers telling us? What are the fundamentals? Is there still a business here? Is there still an opportunity here? Separating those two seems to me to be something that 99% of the time people don't do, and then the emotions and the logic are all kind of mixed up, and it's impossible to make good decisions and understand why you're making the decisions you're making if your emotions and your rationale is kind of all mixed up in a pot. The tip that I'll give for wrapping up this episode is, additionally to taking stock on your emotions and on the logic behind your business, is really putting down in writing all your options, all the options that you can think of, and the true cost and the true chances for these options to succeed, and the risk if those options fail. And think really long term. Don't just think like this person. Once we talked this through and we said, well, if you gave them 50% more equity, what would happen next? What's the consequence of this? How will this affect the business in the next 2, 3, 4 years? He actually, you could sense on an emotional level, he started feeling better about it, because he thought, well, it's not really the end of the business. I don't think that it's going to, if we fail, it doesn't matter. If we succeed, I'm not sure how much this will matter at the end. And it seemed much less of a massive issue if you thought about it just on long term enough. So think through, write down all your options, write down the chances of success as well as the risk that you're taking with these options. And then think about not just what will happen the next 3 months, but what will happen the next 1, 2, 5, 10 years. And that gives you, that oftentimes helps give you a framework of perspective that you're lacking in the moment, and that can clarify what option is the right option to take.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you unpacked that, because I think people need that. It's easy to confuse logic and emotion, especially in business, and it shouldn't be, but it really is easy to confuse the two.
Yeah, well, we're humans, and both logic and emotions are in the same body and in the same human. So it's,
exactly.
So it's challenging. All right, I think that's it from us for today's episode. We'll hear you very soon.
Bye.